This is the last in our series of studies on the basics of salvation. Study number 5, and we're looking at or answering the question, am I saved? It's very plain that we're not perfect yet. We are still here on this earth, and we still sin. We're waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to return for us and to take us to heaven. Many believers have questions regarding their salvation because they do not understand that salvation is applied in three tenses or at three different times. We can say that I was saved, that was when I believed. We can also say that I am being saved. Sometimes we call this growing or growth. And finally, we can also say I will be saved. Now, this will be when Jesus Christ comes for us and takes us to be with him. All three of these are true. First, let's look at the past tense of salvation. And this is true if you have believed the gospel. The believer can look back at the moment which he believed or when he believed and say, I was saved. This is looking to the past, and therefore we refer to it as past tense salvation. It's completed. The believer was saved in the past through believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:2, Paul says that by believing that gospel, you were saved unless you believed in vain or you believed without a purpose, that is, without a goal, the goal being to be saved. There are people today that believe the gospel, they accept it as facts, but they don't believe it for salvation. They believe or trust in something else, perhaps their good works or going to church to be saved, and that would be believing in vain. But Paul says we have to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and believe that he, being buried, was then raised again the third day. And we have to believe that we are saved by believing that, believing in him. That's the gospel, and that happened. Our salvation began at that point. We were saved by a hope which we believed, according to Romans 8:24. The hope was that we would be saved, and we believed in that. We were saved according to God's mercy, according to Titus 3:5. That involved God causing us to be born anew or regenerated. Each of these look at our past, and as a result, it is secure, and it cannot be changed. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 8 combine the past and the present. For by grace you are having been saved through faith. Both verses tell us this. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he used a grammatical device which specially emphasizes a completed act in the past that has continuing results. He combined a form of is. Now, this may not be represented in all of our English Bibles, so it may not be present in yours. But in this case, that form of the word is are, A-R-E. And it is in the present tense, and it is combined with a participle in the perfect tense. Therefore, having been saved. So you are having been saved. The King James says, for by grace you are having been saved. R emphasizes duration, continuance, and having been saved emphasizes the accomplished act with results that continue. Put it all together, and we have a paraphrase of Paul's emphasis. We could say you are in a state where, having been saved by grace through faith in the past, you are still saved by grace through faith in the present. Something started in the past continues. Very important verse because it emphasizes not only was grace involved in our initial salvation, but it is still the basis or the means by which we are being saved in the present. So let's move to this present tense of salvation, which we may more popularly call growth. God intends for you to grow. He wants you to go on enjoying what he has provided for you. He wants you to get to know him better. Salvation is about a relationship with God. And so the Philippians were to work out their own salvation, according to Philippians 2:12. They weren't told to work out somebody else's salvation, and they were not told to work out to get salvation. They were to work out their salvation. They already had it. They were to work on it. They should have been doing their part in growing. Now, you put yourself in their place. Salvation is God's work. He does everything you need. God is the one who works in you to work, according to verse 13 of Philippians 2. And God is the one who works in you to desire or want to do. This is very important. He's the one that works in you to want to do or desire His will. And that's also in verse 13. So our responsibility then is to cooperate, to let God's work take place. Salvation is our opportunity to allow God to work. We should do all things without grumbling and arguing, Paul went on to say in verse 14. And when we do that, we can become blameless and harmless children of God, according to verse 15. He doesn't say we become children of God. It's that we become blameless and harmless children. We saw in our last study that we are already holy and blameless in Christ. Therefore, this verse is not talking about how God looks at us in Christ. It's about how we're living. And that's what we're looking at in present tense salvation, growth. You doing your part in living the kind of life God has provided for you. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, telling him to give attention to salvation. In 1 Timothy 4:16, he was to give attention to himself in verses 15 and 16, and he was to give attention to teaching. Paul told him that if Timothy would do this, he would save himself and those who hear him. Now, this is not past tense salvation. This is progress in present tense salvation. This is about growing. Timothy was already saved, and the people in his church were saved. So he isn't getting them saved initially. He's not getting them to go and believe the gospel. He's getting them to live the kind of life that God has designed for those who are believers. We find in James 2:14 that only active faith saves in the present. James wrote to some early Christians about using faith. They were already beloved brothers, according to verses 1:19 and 2:14. They were believers who talked about their faith, but didn't act or work from faith, according to James 2:15 and 16. They needed to know that workless faith, or faith that doesn't produce works, it cannot save, and it is dead when it is measured only by itself, in verses 14 and 17. Dead by itself, in many of our English Bibles, that's the way it reads, in quotes, dead by itself, does not represent the Greek preposition kata, which means to measure by a standard. If faith is not producing any works, then it is measured by the standard of itself, and no other man is able to see that faith, and therefore it's dead. James is not talking about God looking at the faith, but believers looking at each other's faith. These believers needed to use faith for their present tense salvation or their growth. Not past tense salvation. They're already believers. They're already saved in the past. James didn't question their past. He was concerned for their growth. James knew they were saved. James was concerned about their going on and growing in their salvation. In a faith that wasn't producing anything in their life, wouldn't be able to save them. It wouldn't be able to take them on so that they could grow. Now let's look at future tense salvation. This is when Christ comes for his believers. We will be saved from the wrath, according to Romans 5. You see, in the future, God will pour his wrath upon this world for their obstinate unbelief and rebellion against him. And so God's going to save us from this wrath. God will not... God will not, just make this very clear, will not pour out his wrath on believers. Some people get this very confused, but it's very important in Scripture. God does not pour out his wrath on unbelievers. He will remove the believers from that wrath. The word deliver or saved in these passages in Romans 5 means to rescue. We are saved by Christ's life because he is an advocate, our advocate with the Father, according to 1 John 2:1. We are saved by Christ's life because he will catch or snatch us out of this world and up to himself, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. Therefore, when that wrath is poured out, he's already taken us out of the world. He takes us out and then can pour out his wrath. Paul wrote that our salvation is closer now than when we first believed in Romans 13:11. Well, he's talking about our future salvation. Because we already are saved, he's talking about something yet to come. He also tells us that we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We have a salvation that is being guarded for a future time when it will be revealed, according to 1 Peter 1:5. From this we learn that we don't guard our future. God guards our future salvation. Our future salvation is the salvation of our soul when we see Christ, according to verse 9 in 1 Peter 1. Our future salvation is grace that will be brought to us when Christ comes to us, according to verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. Very important that we understand that when Christ comes for us, we get grace. The tenses of salvation and the security of our Savior all come together in this, because when you understand that God saved you in the past when you believed, that he is saving you now as you grow, and that he will finish your salvation when Jesus Christ comes for you, you realize that your salvation is secure. We sometimes call this security. Eternal security is not about how good we can or should be. Eternal security is about the faithfulness of our God to finish what has been started. In fact, we read in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in us will continue to do that work until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12 explains that Christ is able to guard the thing which we've committed to him unto that day. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 states that Christ gave himself for the church so that he will present the church to himself, a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. In each of these instances, our security is God's work, not ours. And we could multiply verses that tell us the same. Since it is true that salvation is ultimately God's work, and God is faithful to finish what he started, we can know that our salvation is secure. We shouldn't live in fear of the future, but with an eager anticipation of being forever with God. It is very interesting to me that oftentimes believers who believe they can lose their salvation or are worried of losing their salvation do not very frequently enjoy the joy God has planned for us. And they live a life trying to do what God's already done, rather than living with an eager anticipation of the future. For them, the future is something that they're a bit wary of, never knowing for certain whether or not they're going to make it. But when we understand that God has already done everything and is working in us, will continue to work in us, and keeps us secure, it encourages us to live a life that reflects God's love and grace to us. Note that the Apostle Paul said about God's faithfulness to secure our salvation in Romans 8. He wrote that if God is for us, who can be against us in verse 31? Who can separate us from the love of God in verse 35? And finally, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God for us in Christ Jesus in verse 39. God's done everything. Nobody can undo it.